A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com. Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
What's that noise?
I don't know. Is it coming from your laptop?
It might be.
Oh, I think it might be my laptop. Oh, yeah. You know how they auto-play something?
Hello, Egg Chasers. This is the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, the podcast about rugby that doesn't take itself or the game too seriously. We just love the game and we are absolutely buzzing with excitement that we are 2 weekends away from domestic rugby returning to the United Kingdom and Ireland. Bring it on. And Europe, well, and Italy and South Africa. as well. I'm Tim, that's JB.
Hello, Timothy.
That's Phil.
Hello, Tim.
And yes, today we're obviously going to be talking about the Rugby Championship. We've got two more clubs or sides from the Pro 14 or Avicii Premiership that are going to be put under the microscope and look at their chances ahead of the new season. There's been some breaking rugby stories. There's been some new kits. Phil's prepared a quiz. You're in the right place. You're taken care of. So how was your... How am I meant to look at you, Phil, and when you're wearing the tightest of rugby vests?
It's not that tight. I have tighter.
It's quite tight.
It is quite tight.
I know this is a visual medium and you're not watching it, but I'm just in a room with, well, JB and I look like...
You probably do.
We look like people on a Sunday.
Civilians.
Yeah.
I'm doing my Sam Burgess impression.
It's nice. Very nice.
Right. So where shall we start? Should we pay some service to that Bledisloe match down under?
There's a lot to talk about in this Bledisloe match.
Bloody hell. I mean, this Bledisloe match is like the climax of 6 seasons of Game of Thrones. There's so much going on here. But yeah, okay, so let's dig in with... Should we talk about the prelude to the Bledisloe Cup game?
Go on.
Well, it feels to me that this week, during the build-up, almost every low ball tactic that could possibly have been used against the All Blacks has been used. And I'm not a big All Black sympathiser, but I do feel sorry for them. So the Aaron Smith accusations were rehashed. I don't know if that was by Australian media or not, to be fair.
Well, there was some text messages that were... I saw like a screenshot of a text message between Aaron Smith and the alleged other party. And then the All Blacks themselves decided to reopen the file. So we all thought it was closed last year, but they're going to investigate it slightly further. And then, after that, there was another... what's been labelled as a cultural problem.
Yeah. Now, I know you don't know about this, Tim, so you'll be delighted if I tell you about it.
Go on. Hit me up with it. Right, so I have been in kind of a radio silence. I've been in the middle of nowhere. No, I haven't been checking my phone and stuff, and I've been trying to ignore a little bit of rugby through the week. Have a bit of good family time because my weekends are going to be consumed by nothing but contact sport.
Amazing. Amazing.
So come on, tell me, what's been going on?
All right, so Aaron Smith first. Okay, Aaron Smith, or supposedly from Aaron Smith's phone, there's been a string of what looks like Facebook messages to me.
It's some form of messenger.
Now, if I received this message in my inbox on any platform, I'd automatically assume it was a Nigerian prankster. Right? The way it is put together reads like one of my tweets. It's incoherent. But the main kind of gist behind it is the coach covered it up, or at least gave him a way to cover it up. It mentions a sworn affidavit.
Yeah.
Which is very weird. I mean, What did they do? Two consenting adults in a disabled... Okay, misuse of disabled facilities is probably the worst thing that you could throw at them.
Yeah.
But it's just rehashed the whole thing. So the New Zealand Rugby Union have decided to reopen the whole thing. Now, whether this means they're going to reopen it to the detriment of Aaron Smith or not, I don't know. But certainly if what he's saying is true, it's to the detriment of Steve Hansen.
If Steve Hansen is the coach who's referred to as the one who's given him an opportunity to cover it up.
Well, I mean, who else would it be? I mean, Wayne Smith or someone?
It could even have been one of the media guys.
So hold
on.
This is just an extramarital affair, which, as far as I'm concerned as a rugby fan, I don't care. It's none of my business.
No.
Yeah, exactly. So this was labelled as demonstrating poor culture. But this is not culture. Teams who talk about culture, that should be wanting to fight for your mates, wanting to kind of get up off the floor when you're absolutely
and
bollocks.
Yeah.
And
do you take
smash someone?
Defeat
yeah.
with grace and yeah. and humility and yeah. win victory, things like
that's,
that.
I mean, that's rugby culture. Yeah. This is not rugby culture.
I don't even care about that, really. I mean, you know, the SAS don't have to abandon an operation because one of their mates gets a bit amorous with, you know... a girl somewhere. It's just not really applicable.
Now, I do get this, right? So this, he's shacked up, allegedly, with this 24-year-old former model, Tara, I'm reading here.
Whoa, you're jumping the gun here.
What?
Or are you? Is this Aaron Smith?
No, this is Jerome Kaino.
Right, this is a separate story.
Oh, separate story, yeah. Right.
So, yeah, Aaron Smith, but nothing more's come of it.
Mm-hmm.
As in, oh, sorry, getting a bit frisky there with the bell.
Yep.
so was half the New Zealand team by the sound of it.
So yeah, Aaron Smith, it was as if it was trying to get dragged up again, yeah. But then that was eclipsed
yes.
by the Jerome Kaino
story.
Yeah, so Jerome Kaino is then flown home to deal with the fallout of a story which I understood to be kind of unearthed by the Australian press.
Yeah.
Which is Jerome Kaino and the person you mentioned.
The former model, 24 years of age, called Tara. It's reported they met up in hotels in Auckland, Sydney and Brisbane. And then...
Yeah, this bit I like.
And then, after they've had three hookups, minimum, then she's upset but that finding out that this world-famous rugby union player is married.
Did she not Google him? I mean... Come on, get a grip. So it does sound a little bit like she has kind of... The story's come from like her side, hence she is devastated to find out
yeah.
that, weirdly, this guy wouldn't invite her home. So there you go. That is the story of Jerome Kaino and Aaron Smith. So Aaron Smith played, Jerome Kaino got sent home, and it just feels like a lot of underhand tricks towards the All Blacks, really.
It does a little bit. Not necessarily by... the ARU.
How do we know?
Not necessarily by the ARU, but by the Aussie press.
Do you know what I'd love to know? Whatever happened to the listening devices? Whatever came... Because they got the police involved. And then that just kind of went, disappeared.
Yeah.
So, and the weird thing about that as well, remember, that the Australians allegedly found the listening device sometime after the All Blacks found a listening device.
Yeah, that was just to cover it up, wasn't it?
Yeah, there's something very suspicious going on there.
But neither Aaron Smith nor the Jerome Kaino issue actually affected the All Blacks.
Are you joking?
Well, maybe in the last 30 minutes.
If anything, it affected them hugely.
Because Liam Squire was brilliant.
Yeah, and they went out and battered them. Like, they had one thing on their mind, and that was revenge.
Well, I think that would have happened either way, to be honest.
This is true. So there was one quite funny article that was written on a satirical site in New Zealand just before this game, which said, side entrance built for Richie McCaw at the ANZ Stadium ahead of the Bledisloe Cup, then going on to say... Whether you were at the game or just watching on TV, whenever former All Black Richie McCaw entered a Rock or Mall, the nation would scream, just look at the beep from the side again. Now in retirement, the 35-year-old won't have to endure tongue lashing when he visits Sydney's ANZ Stadium for tonight's Bledisloe Cup match. They've built him his own discreet side entrance so he can come and go as he pleases from the side all day long without fear of being abused. He's built a career on entering everything from his life from the side. Rucks, mauls, tackles, helicopters, you name it. His post-playing career should be no different. Very good.
Very good. Bravo. The game.
Yes.
The game, yes, some rugby.
So after everything, there was a rugby game.
88 points.
Jeez, where do you even start with this?
Well, let's do it chronologically. So the first half was about as one-sided as I've ever seen in a top level, so or supposedly top level, two top level teams.
Yeah, I think you're right there. Supposedly top level.
Yes. Yeah, because Australia, fourth in the world rankings, I think I'm right in saying.
God, that's amazing.
Yeah.
That's just amazing that they can be even that high. So, it wasn't a world-class match. I'm not going to heap too much praise on the All Blacks, simply for the fact that I don't think they had to do much.
No.
I mean, the errors made by the Australians were so stupid. I mean, let's start with their captain, Michael Hooper. This guy, in my opinion, shouldn't even be playing. I thought, for the most part, he was an absolute liability. The guy's an idiot. He comes off his feet all the time. He had two passages of play within... Actually, no, it was in one phase of play with two infringements, potentially both could cost his team dearly. In the end, it only cost him a penalty. He lifted the guy off his feet. He didn't go past horizontal, thankfully. The guy landed, and then he just falls on the ball and tries to scrabble it back.
Yeah, he did it numerous times. So I rate Hooper. I think he's a brilliant player, brilliant athlete. He doesn't look at his best, and he looked incredibly frustrated. But also the stupidity that you mentioned. Yeah. Ooh, sorry, right, take that bell off me.
There you go.
The stupidity that you mentioned. He was repeatedly off his feet at the rooks and just hands in.
Yeah, I thought he was dreadful. I thought he'd lost his head within about 5 minutes.
McVezic-esque.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe worse.
Worse, probably worse.
Do you know why it's worse? Because his work rate's higher. Like, you add stupidity and high work rate. And,
a dangerous combination.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was Hooper. Some of the defensive errors were so stupid, Tim. I can't tell you. Just people not even looking at their man. When the All Blacks scored on the outside of Izzy Folau, he looked like a 15-year-old who'd never played the game before.
When Rico Ioane went round him, yeah.
He didn't even need to try.
Yeah.
I mean,
the five yards of space to beat Folau in that was awful.
Yeah, and he's not particularly running that fast. He's not particularly trying to hand him off. He just goes around the outside of him, like he's not there.
And the Ryan Crotty try, the one straight from a scrum, left field scrum, Aaron Smith gets the ball and kind of...
Sides through the middle.
Yeah, three players running three different directions, and Crotty just hits a good line just outside 13 and just glides under the post.
Yeah, and was that the fault of Samu Karevi?
Karevi, probably.
Right, now, this lad, bless him, he tries. I mean, the endeavour's there, you know, the heart is there, to be fair to him. He's just not good enough.
But, I mean, you look at... I don't know. You look at the Australian lineup, and I was actually thinking... If Genya and Foley show up and have the Genya and Foley of years gone by, then actually Beal, Karevi, Folau as your sort of spine of the team, and then you've even got Kurindrani on the bench. You sort of think that's actually decent. I'm not sure Rona and Spate would get in many other international sides, but on the wings. But the sort of spine of that back line, I was thinking they could do some damage. So to make such basic errors is really odd.
Well, I forgot where it was going to go on, Phil.
Well, the back line, it was interesting because defensively they were dreadful.
Yeah.
They were really, and particularly in that first kind of 46 minutes or so, they were really awful. But they did show what they can do and the potential that they have going forward, given half a chance, which was in the last 30 minutes, they scored four tries.
Well, yeah, let's just rewind that because the first 3 minutes alone, I thought, hang on, they're in for a game here. You know, Australia just marched up the field. Like, you know, there was nothing stopping them.
And then they won the penalty.
Yep.
Slotted 3 points. But you often see that the first 5 minutes, don't really tell the story of the game.
No.
You'll often see teams in it, certainly the first 5, first 10, first 15 minutes, and then you start to get a real feel of where the teams are. And it was from 10 minutes when Liam Squire scored until it was 48 minutes in when New Zealand scored their last try that was allowed, that they were just untouchable.
Yeah.
Certainly untouchable by that Australian team.
Yeah, I don't even know why New Zealand stopped. because something happened. Like whether they wanted to preserve the rugby championship for next year or something happened, which meant they just stopped playing rugby or stopped defending. Or they certainly weren't as good a team second half.
They switched off. It was like they visibly switched off. It was 54-6 after 48 minutes. So yeah. It's very difficult to... Well,
yeah, 54-6...
It's not in New Zealand's mentality to have a mercy kind of approach. It wasn't like that, but like you say, they just...
Well, the only thing I can think of, right, is it got to half-time and they did make some changes, the Australians. The big one, which I was really glad to see, was Kieran Dorney on Karevi off because he's just, like I said, not good enough. And it kind of highlighted something. I mean, I'm really clutching at straws here. But it did highlight that this New Zealand lot don't like being played against at all. You know, you put them under any kind of pressure and they do tend to fold. They conceded 36 points, was it
34.
Then? 34. 34 points. But 28 of those were in a 20-minute window.
Yeah. But, you know, when you bang on about culture and excellence... you'd have thought that's when they dig in to really show their class.
There's a bit of me that also thinks the New Zealand coaches would have been going, I'm really glad we had that, because now we can still roast them and raise the bar even higher.
I think you're right there. And but there again, I'd almost be disappointed as a coach as well. I mean, it's a double-edged sword, isn't it?
You'd be very disappointed. You'd be furious, but it gives you a bit of ammunition to put them through the meat grinder again and kind of make a big improvement.
Question for you. Do either of you know, quick one quiz question.
Yeah, go on.
What was the last year that Australia had a Bledisloe Cup in their trophy cabinet?
Jesus.
It was spoke about before the game.
2002 or something? Probably that's the time Brumbies won a Super Rugby title, which is probably in the 90s or the early 2000s.
It was 2002.
There you go.
15 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Amazing. And
from the way things are going, it could comfortably be another 15 years. If they ever win one again.
It raises the question, doesn't it? What is the future for Australian rugby? I mean, we spoke about this last week, and we thought 20 points, and I thought 30 points. For a while, like, we were both miles off.
Oh, yeah.
It looks like it was going to be 50 or 60 points.
After 48 minutes, when they were 48 points up. 48 points up after 48 minutes. Well, you think this is going to be a cricket score?
Yeah. At least a 2020 score.
Maybe a basketball score.
Yeah.
Very one-sided basketball game.
It's so sad. I mean, the attendances have gone down continually, I think, for the last 7 years. From a height of 86,000 down to, I think, 57 this game. The ARU have just got rid of the Western Force. You know, their idea of a rugby strategy is getting one guy back from Wasps or signing middle-grade rugby league talent.
Yeah.
I mean, where is the development of the young lads? There's plenty of rugby in Australia. There's plenty of grand old clubs. They've got loads of history. You know, they've got lads in their history, the likes of Roth and Gregham and Larkham and, you know, all these boys, and yet this is what they produce. And quite frankly, it's not good enough. In fact, it's an absolute national disgrace. It's abysmal, and it's been happening year after year.
Well, if you are Australian, you can look forward to next week's fixture, which is the return leg in New Zealand.
I'll make a suggestion now. Next time Australia do, have you seen their welcome to country ceremony?
No.
They do a welcome to country ceremony done by an Indigenous person, right? Next time, they say access denied because the boys can't play rugby. No, it's embarrassing. We don't want our culture tainted by this nonsense. Permission to play? Not granted. sort it out, because it's really, really poor. It's one of the biggest looming disasters for world rugby, this is.
The state of Australian rugby, or the difference between the pack and New Zealand?
Well, firstly,
interesting.
If you looked at the Australian pack, if they were lined up, I reckon there's about three or four people who you wouldn't actually be able to confidently identify which was which if you were given names and then had to match them up with people in front of you.
Yes.
Yeah.
You're probably right. At one point I thought, is that Dean Mum? Dean Mum wasn't even in the squad. So
Dean Mum, has he retired now?
I hope not.
Ned Hannigan. That household name, Ned Hannigan.
Sounds like an outlaw.
Big Ned.
Not only did I not know what he looked like before the game, having watched him, I still don't know what he looks like.
Was that the seven?
Six.
Oh, right, yeah. Yeah, I only say that because you told me he was in the back row before the podcast. Like, he was? Okay.
It's a mess.
Yeah, and one of the worst accolades I've ever heard. Congratulations, Plotten out. Most used substitute in Australian history.
Oh, God.
Congratulations. Crack open the cans.
Wow. Well, you were saying, okay, so I'm gonna try and segue us from one to another by saying the other crisis in rugby has been a significant worsening in the quality of kits that teams have been releasing. With a few exceptions, but generally speaking, there have been some awful ones. I think we can feel a little bit better about some of the shirts that have come out. So in a quick stash watch, again, I know this is not a visual medium, so go and find this out. But the Ospreys new home shirt.
Reasonable.
Plain black with some white detail.
Yeah.
All over that.
Nothing wrong with that.
It's reasonable. I don't like the blue.
The blue on the sponsor. Oh, fine. Level Rugby.
I'm over it.
Bath Rugby have unveiled their Change and European shirts,
which I am a big fan of. Well done, Bath.
So they've got a plain white Change kit.
Yep. Have I not been calling for this for years?
Yeah. As in Change kit? The
all Change kits, change should, kits be white.
Should be white.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, well done. Listening to me again, like that.
and the European kit.
And do you know what? If you have a plain Change kit, you can do whatever you want with your third kit, and I won't criticise
you. They've kept it pretty classy.
Yeah, it's fine.
And on the European shirt, they've got the... I do like the stars, or the whatever, or the little cup symbols that people put on to identify, to signify the number of times they've won that competition.
Yeah,
so
I like it too.
Nice detail. So good work, Canterbury, on that. Well done. So I feel a lot better about the state of kits. Argentina. Let's talk about kit.
Just before you do, Tim, a quick quiz question for you.
Yeah.
Bath played Ospreys. What cup did they play for?
The Big Gav Cup.
The Big Gav Cup. Good. But not the right answer.
Paul James Trophy?
It is not the Paul James Trophy.
Ooh, the Assey Trophy.
The Assey Trophy,
the
nope.
The Canterbury Cup.
Correct.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, have that.
Nice.
There you go.
Bath won that one, didn't they?
Yeah. Sorry, you were saying the...
The Argentina kit. Oh, ooh. Nike. I can't think of many other teams that have a kit made by Nike.
The Argentinian kit design meeting is very similar to the Porsche 911 design meeting.
Yes.
Remove all that detail, please.
Yeah. Last year's was nearly perfect. Let's keep it almost exactly the same.
99.99% the same.
Yes.
Beautiful kit. Well done.
The blue one, the dark blue. I never thought something that looks so close to a wetsuit could look so good.
The only change I can see they've made to it is they've made room for slightly bigger traps because of the modern player. That's it, really.
The mannequins that they put these shirts on are ridiculous.
Aren't they just?
It's
just a great, great kit.
In fact, that's what they should do when they release a kit, because it's a good test of a kit. They should have like your average Joe Bloggs fat lad in the pictures next to the players.
As Brian Majority says in the Life of Brian videos, he goes, middle-aged men with their funny, skinny yet fat bodies. So that's the sort of mannequin that we should have. Skinny arms, fat body.
Yeah, I'm all for that. Right, well, so that's one crisis that's maybe being averted in the world of rugby, even if Australia aren't playing ball and doing that themselves.
Mm.
So that's good.
Can I put forward a theory that I've kind of been mulling over regarding, not necessarily Australia, but more New Zealand and regards to the chasing pack?
Okay.
I think the chasing pack that you're referring to, it's New Zealand, and then immediately beneath them, if not in the same on the same level of them, as them, is England and Ireland. Then everyone else is basically a tier two nation at the moment.
I would go with that. I think the gap is... There is still a gap. I still think that New Zealand would be England... Probably Ireland 9 times out of 10, England 8 times out of 10.
No, I disagree with that. I think they'd beat them more times than they lose. But my point really is the development of players and the progression through the system and the structures that they have.
That's true.
No one... I mean, Ireland probably are second, if you think about it.
In terms of that development?
Yeah, in terms of how they get their players through, where they're playing, the standard rugby that the domestic clubs play.
I'd say the big advantage that they have is the majority of their combinations play for two teams.
Yeah.
And a handful for Ulster and a couple for Connacht, but most of them play in combinations at Munster and Leinster. So that's a massive advantage, because you don't get that in the Premiership other than probably the Saracens pack.
Yeah. It's not dissimilar to how New Zealand do things, really.
Mm.
That's true.
And if you looked at, say, you know, how many games would Leinster or Munster lose to, say, Crusaders or someone? You know, it'd be an intriguing prospect.
Depends on the conditions, I feel.
Mm.
In probably an Irish or Northern Hemisphere winter, you'd probably back Munster and Leinster.
Yeah, I
wonder, in a free-flowing... Not that it's always sunny and dry in New Zealand, but in those conditions, you'd probably back the Canes or the Crusaders.
Yeah, I wonder if, like, this is just a thought experiment. But instead of a summer tour one year and Ireland wanted to be creative, instead of just sending the Irish team over, send over the actual provincial teams and do, like a miniature tour of three games each.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome, just to see Leinster, Munster, against not the All Blacks, but against their provincial teams.
You'd get a lot of players exposed to a new level of rugby.
And I'm... You know, instead of filling out one stadium, you'd probably fill out three.
But only Ireland could do that. The only way that the Premiership could do it would be to have, like, regional. So you'd have the north of England, the southwest, and the southeast.
Yeah, the Premiership couldn't do it, but Ireland genuinely could. And it might even be worth sacking off their summer tour.
Yeah.
To have, maybe they have two provincial games each, and then one Ireland game at the end.
Well, new World Rugby fixture schedule is going to happen from 2019.
There you go.
That could be one for discussion.
Bring me now, believe me later. I'm on something there.
Listen, I want to take a brief moment to say thank you to one of the people that make this podcast possible. And if you enjoy it, we ask you just a couple of things. One, just take a moment out of your day to leave us a five-star review on iTunes. It really does help. And tons of people have done it already. Thank you in advance for doing it yourself. And also, just want to let you know about one group of people that have supported the podcast for years, and that is the wonderful people at Cornerstone. They're big fans of rugby. They love the podcast. We've got a great relationship with them. We totally believe in their raises as being the best you can possibly get. And because you listen to us, you get the opportunity to try that for just £4. Less than a pint, and you get a presentation box sent to you of six razors. How much would six, like, disposable good razors cost you? It'd be more than £4 anyway.
A lot. I think somewhere in the region of £100,000.
Yeah.
Well, for comparable quality.
Well,
you can't.
There isn't comparable quality.
Exactly.
This is the point. But you would spend more on this on some in your supermarket. And the point is, you get these delivered straight to you in a presentation box. Six amazing razors, and you get a free engraved aluminium shaft. Some other companies have come up trying to do the Cornerstone model, trying to do what they do. Not as well. They give you these plasticky handles. Get the real deal, one that you can have engraved with your initials. £4 for six. This.
Hmm?
£4. Get involved. All you need to do is go to cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers, cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers, or
Egg10 at checkout.
Give it a go, and we reckon you will love it as much as we do. Right, so we're going to put some teams under the microscope. Let's pick one of these teams and do that right now as we get excited about the brand new season. Then Phil's got a quiz we're going to play. Do you want to go Pro 14 or Avicii?
Go Pro 14 first.
Pro 14, Leinster.
Leinster. Now, Peter BT has got in touch on Facebook. And Peter BT, interestingly, he's Irish, I believe, but he currently lives in Madrid.
Ooh.
And he's asked whether we're coming over. And
we are.
We will be at some point very soon, in the next 6 months, I would say, we will be in Madrid to watch a game.
And in the next couple of weeks, I would imagine, we will have some details for you about exactly when we're in Madrid. So if you heard the shenanigans and the fun that went on in Bucharest, you can come and be part of the next trip.
Yep, live show and all.
Indeed. So, Leinster. So, in his overview, he says, positives, great strength in depth.
Yep.
Good coaching setup.
Agreed.
Yep.
Stuart Lancaster, especially.
If he does say, if a little confusing, the setup as Lancaster as a he's a senior coach, but then he's under Cullen.
He's kind of a consultant, I'd guess.
Kind of like
Isn't
his consultant,
defense?
But he's
Stuart
not
Lancaster mainly.
I thought he like did.
I thought he was their defense.
I thought he did mind conditioning or something, or I think lifestyle coaching.
I think it's all of the above. He's a culture coach, certainly.
Yeah,
but he is a senior coach above the rest of the coaches, Fogarty and Dempsey, but beneath Cullen as head coach, maybe. Anyway, that's positive. Game-winning mentality, another positive, and impressive try-scoring ability. The negatives. Injury concerns to big players, particularly at the start of the season, there are a few. The inexperience at 9, and they are liable to start the season very slowly, which also is compounded by the fact that they've got some injuries.
And am I right in saying that Lions are given extra time off?
They've certainly, most of them have only just started training again for pre-season.
Yeah, I don't know what the rules are about them playing, but certainly they have their, well, the English players have their mandatory 5 weeks off.
Yeah.
I imagine that the Irish players are better looked after again.
So from what I've seen, none of them have played the pre-season games yet.
Weirdly, the weakness at 9 is probably a strength in a way. Because what I don't like is when they say, oh no, we've got a weakness at 9, let's go and get a 9. Because then you don't really develop the next 9 for the future.
Well, look at Exeter's weakness at 9 when Will Chudley went down last year.
Exactly.
And then all of a sudden you've got two guys in and around the England squad who are 18, 19 years old.
Yeah, I'm sure they've got plenty of talent there. It's just who are they going to blood and who steps forward, and there will be someone.
But they've been blooding Luke McGrath, and they've got... pains me to say his name, Jameson Gibson Park, because he's the reason that Pienaar has left Ulster. But they've got those two.
Run that past me again. Why is that?
Because they brought him in, and then the IRFU. So he was on a longer term deal than Pienaar, and Pienaar had to step down because of the IRFU requirement to have only, I think, one foreign player in each position.
Oh. Oh, I see. Oh, dear. You've really been screwed over, haven't you, by the way?
Yeah.
By other people's signings.
Yeah. Crazy. Anyway, so the players in, James Lowe, who is Chiefs winger.
Yep.
And Scott Fardy.
Scott Fardy.
So Scott Fardy joins maybe the most impressive list of back rowers any club has ever assembled.
Well, it's interesting. You are right. I think they'll use Scott Fardy as a second row.
Yeah.
So he's 6 foot six. He's 30.
Is he that big?
Yeah. He's 115 kg. He's 33 years old. And you are exactly right about the strength of depth of their back row. So I can't
their
see
their sevens are just, it's outrageous.
So can you list a better group of sevens in any professional setup ever? It's a serious question.
There must have been one at Leicester when Lewis Moody and Neil Back were there.
Lewis Moody
and maybe
Neil
Josh
Kronfeld is one I'm thinking of.
Yeah, that's handy.
And then Serge Betson. Oh, that was Wasps.
That was Wasps.
Yeah.
So probably that would is probably the best collection of sevens since the European all-conquering Leicester side of the mid-90s.
I think Wasps might have put together Betson, Haskell, Reese. Johnny O'Connor for a little while was kind of in that mix, but I might be getting my time frames mixed up. He was pretty decent, but not on this level, I don't think.
Yeah.
So what are we talking? We got...
In the back row, Heaslip and Conan, and Peter says that he expects Conan to really be pushing Heaslip now.
Mm-hmm.
And they got Max Deegan at Leinster. Is he the guy at Leinster? Like, he's the under-20s guy. Is he the fullback?
He's not listed.
They had an awesome number 8 that was their captain the other year that was coming through. Anyway.
So, Heaslip and Conan, O'Brien, Van der Fleer, and Levy, and then Ruddock and Murphy.
Tidy.
Mm. Yes. Very handy.
Yeah, they could play a bit.
Yeah. And out, Kirchner, who's gone to the Dragons. No great loss.
Do we know how Dragon... Sorry, go on.
McCarthy, Ross has retired, and Ryan. And Ryan's gone to Leicester, hasn't he? Ryan.
Yeah. Not Donica Ryan.
Sorry. Which Ryan is it?
Oh, hold on. No, is it Donica Ryan? No. No, it's not Donica Ryan. It's... Maybe Dominic Ryan.
Matt Ryan, the quarterback.
Dominic Ryan.
Dominic Ryan.
And Dominic Ryan scored in Leicester's pre-season game at the weekend. I've just been doing a bit of scouting for our fantasy rugby draft,
really?
Which is in a couple of hours' time.
It is. That's when things will really heat up.
Really, really heat up. I'm surprised I can actually focus on what we're talking about, to be honest. I'm so nervous about this fantasy draft.
That's why you've got to be prepared. Prepare and then prepare again.
Right, yes. Even if Phil's even if Phil's going to wuss out, JB, I think we commit to maybe letting people in on what it's like in being in the midst of a draft by recording our first couple of rounds.
The problem is, Tim, with that, and there's nothing really exciting about watching just a true professional with ice running through his veins. There's not going to be much action from me, my friend.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, if we do it as a three, maybe, the hysteria between you two would be quite something to watch.
Yeah, come on, Phil.
No, I need my profession. I need to plug myself into the matrix. I got my setup all geared up in the study.
So,
we spoke about a few players there. Others, so fly halves, Sexton, Carberry, Burn, very impressive.
Excuse me.
You okay?
Yeah, it's just about.
Centres, Henshaw.
Is this some covert messaging about a fantasy rugby draft?
It is.
Centres, Henshaw and Ringrose, and back three of Carney, Nasewa, Byrne, Lowe and McFadden. Oof. So, all looking pretty handy.
Dynamite.
So, there's to lose, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's very competitive, so it's hard to say that in that sense. But they're clear favourites.
Favourites. I'd say they're favourites. They did. So, they got to the semi-final of both European Champions Cup, where they lost away to Clermont, and Pro 12 semi-final where they lost at home to Scarlets, which will be a big disappointment for them. But Scarlets were excellent.
I think semi-finals in Europe is their minimum, and I think final in the Pro 12 is their minimum.
I would agree with that. Absolutely.
And if they do that,
has to be.
I mean, you can't win it every year. I think that is a successful season.
Yeah. Yeah. If they don't make it to the last 16 of the European Champions Cup, who have they got in their group? If they don't make it to the last 16, and if they don't make at least the final in the Pro 12, it will be disappointing.
The fixtures for all that come out this week.
Is it this week?
Yeah.
Excellent.
Look out for the Glasgow fixtures, because they are of particular interest to us, because we're going to go and watch them when they have their Friday night game, which I think is going to be more often than not.
Leinster have Exeter Chiefs, Glasgow Warriors, and Montpellier. Montpellier with one of the finest 8-9-10 gombos you will ever see in professional club rugby.
Yeah, and if you keep your ears peeled, I've interviewed Nemani Nadolo this week on the Rugby Dungeon.
So Louis Picamole and
Ruan Pienaar.
And the
Aaron
10.
Cruden.
Of course. I was going. I knew it was.
That is phenomenal.
That is crazy good.
Yeah.
That really
and
is phenomenal.
Don't sleep on the fact that they're now being coached by Vern Cotter.
Yeah.
So they're not going to be playing the old, turgid rugby of Jake White. I mean, this is going to be a really exciting team, and they're massive.
They are.
They are genuinely enormous.
Enormous.
Yeah, just because the fixtures are coming out, let me just run through those Champions Cup fixtures. Well, no, not the fixtures, but the pools again. Mm. So Quins, La Rochelle, Ulster and Wasps. Which I think if you're Ulster and Wasps, you're probably relatively satisfied with. We're against what it could have been.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You take it.
Clermont and Saracens are in the same pool with Northampton and Ospreys.
Ugh.
And then the pool C is the one I just talked about that features Leinster, Cast, Leicester, Munster and Racing.
Interesting.
You've got a lot of repeated foes.
Leicester, Munster, Racing again.
Again.
Yeah.
Yeah, with Cast.
Oh, God, yeah.
And then Bath. Just compare the ones we've talked about. It's a lot. Have a pool with... Oh, mind you, Scarlets are really good, so I'll take it back. Toulon, Scarlets again. They were in the same pool last year. Benetton, Treviso, Bath. It's gonna. It, So, fortunately,
you're probably going to get two from that pool.
Yeah, so the rules that will change from next year, and you won't get a Treviso in unless they get it on merit. So yes, that'll be even tougher, but bring it on. So
yeah, it's going to be brutal when that happens.
Keep an eye out for the fixture lists when they're announced this coming week. So, that was that was Leinster. We've done the Bledisloe Cup. Let's very briefly, because there's not a great deal to talk about in terms of the South Africa pretty comfortable win over Argentina.
Yeah, very good set piece. That's probably the most heartening thing for South Africa. It was built around their set piece.
Mm. And against Argentina.
Yeah, they hammered the scrum, didn't they?
Yeah. Hammered the line-out was brilliant. Hammered the scrum. And so Etzebeth was captain in the side.
Oh, was he?
And he turned down shots at goal on several occasions and went on to score tries from those positions.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
It's very interesting, actually, to see that happen.
Yeah, I know I've said it for a few weeks now, maybe a few months, but there is a stirring that South Africa, I think, are going to become good again. Maybe
I think they already have.
Yeah,
I don't think yet they can be compared to the All Blacks.
No.
I think that's. But as I said a couple of weeks ago, I think by 2019, if they continue to progress, if their Super Rugby teams continue to progress, they retain their talent and they build the squad and build it around Elton Yantis, who is playing so well for the Lions and for South Africa, you've got a hell of a team. And their pack is back to being what it should be, which is one of the most, if not the most, feared packs in world rugby.
I'm trying to think of who Elton Yantis reminds me of, the way he plays.
Of other players?
Yeah. Not quite like a Carlos Spencer. He's a little bit more solid than that. But he's got a very...
He's got... He's probably peak Cipriani.
Oh, nice.
He's probably comparable to that, which I don't think Cipriani...
We're not going
to
get a horn for peak Cipriani. No. Yeah, just to let you know, that's exclusively for Tia. Yeah.
So in Cipriani's kind of... So now I think he's gone too far towards the steady position. I don't think he's anywhere near as exciting as he was. But on his early days, he was almost too exciting. And then he calmed down a little bit. And then he had maybe one or two seasons where he was very good, good balance, incredible attacking ability when he turned it on, and good decision making.
It feels like South Africa have been scared of Yantis for so many years, and they finally kind of just embraced him and let him run with it.
But he has got more control because of he has to under that Lions.
Yeah, I think he also works very well, doesn't he, with Ross Cronier?
Yeah, yeah,
that's a big difference.
It's interesting again. Looking at the profile of that South Africa side, there's a few names that were in that have been in the last 2 years in the under 20s team. Kerwin Bosch and Pieter Steftetwaart. That is the second row, isn't it? The big blonde.
He's
massive,
second row
young,
or back row.
Young,
yeah.
Like they're both.
Oh yeah, he's huge.
They're both like 20. They're both 20. They're both immense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it just feels like all the cogs are starting to turn.
But
again,
that is the boy that was shown up, wasn't it, by Ben Youngs?
It is, yeah.
He got
yeah.
absolutely destroyed. But, you know, if he was relatively young, and he's so big as well.
I think he was playing open side in that game as well.
Yeah, whatever he was doing, it wasn't tackling Ben Youngs.
Watching Ben Youngs glide past him under the post.
If this set piece is as promising as it looks against an Argentine team who are renowned for their set piece.
Yeah.
I'd be interested to see how New Zealand go and deal with it.
Yeah.
because that could be, you know, it could be a real tight game, that.
But New Zealand dealt with the best that Britain and Ireland could offer.
They did. They did. But we'll just see.
Can I just show some appreciation as well for the names of the South African players?
I love the names of South
African
players.
They've got some great names. Raymond Rule. It's just an awesome name. I love Malcolm Marks.
Yep.
It's brilliant.
Malcolm, he is a hell of a player as well.
He's a great player as well, isn't he? Khaleesi.
Yes.
Great name.
Tight shorts.
Yes. Yeah. Very tight shorts on Khaleesi. And Kerwin Bosch. Kitchoff. They've got some great names.
They've always had great. I mean, even players that don't play in the national team, like Quagga Smith. What?
Yeah.
Who named you?
Chili Boy Ralapelli.
Yep.
Bongo and Bombi.
Even things like Duplessis.
Bismarck.
Bismarck Duplessis is a battleship.
So, yeah. Bongi Umbanambi.
Yeah.
Easy for you to say.
Love it.
The flip side of this game, though, was it was pretty poor by Argentina for most of the game. Their scrum and line-out didn't hold up as well as you would expect, and they are renowned for having one of the best scrums and line-outs. Nicolas Sanchez, it feels like he has gone backwards since he's been solely involved in the Jaguares, which is counterintuitive for everything we know about building sports teams, particularly around the Ben Darwin stuff, and contractual security and having combinations playing together. But it just doesn't seem to have worked in the way it should have done.
See, I think that combinations working together are key, but not having all of your combinations combined.
Well, this is the problem. So all of your combinations are combined at all times now.
Yeah.
So they get no experimentation. They just do the same thing with the same people over and over again.
Exactly. So I always think of New Zealand as this, you know, crazy experimental laboratory where they try out all kinds of mad stuff. So that's what these relatively well-equipped coaching staffs with all their facilities do over there. I mean, whether it be the Chiefs not contesting at Rucks for the first time or whatever it is, they're always trying something. And that's why they're so good, ultimately. And then they've got the kind of competition. You still need the competition between different competing combinations.
Yep.
And the Pumas don't have that. They just have the Jaguars. So I think they actually need another Super Rugby team in there. But Christ, after getting rid of three Super Rugby teams this year, that's a big ask.
Pro 12 team.
Now we're talking.
Yeah, there we go. That actually wouldn't be a terrible idea.
It would be.
It might be a terrible idea. Philip, you've got a quiz.
I have. Give me a second. Right. Relatively short one.
Oh, good.
Have you got notes available on your respective laptops or phones?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, first question. Which media organisation owns ESPN, which is one of the best places to get free access to rugby statistics?
Okay, next.
You got an answer, Tim?
Come on, Tim, it's dead easy, that one. You know your sports media inside out.
You do know sports media.
Okay, yeah.
Okay. Question two. When did Manu Tuilagi last play a game for England? Oh. I want the month and the year. Okay.
Hmm. You want the game?
I don't want the game. I want the month and the year.
Okay.
Question three. Which club does Stefan Armitage currently play for?
Stefan.
Not Delon. Not Bevon. Not Guy.
Hang on. Stefan.
Okay. Question four.
Yeah.
Who scored a hat-trick for Saracens in their pre-season fixture against Bedford this weekend?
No idea.
Okay.
Little clue for your fantasy rugby drafts later.
No idea either. I'll go with that one.
Okay. Dragons lost 3 out of 3 of their pre-season fixtures.
Did they lose again this weekend?
They lost again this weekend.
Well, against two, what was the score? Oh.
But how many points did they concede in total to the nearest 10?
Question again.
Dragons lost 3 out of 3 of their pre-season fixtures this year.
Yeah.
How many points did they concede in total to the nearest 10? So let's say you think they conceded 251
yeah.
points. Say 250.
Mm-hmm.
3 matches. Okay.
Final 2 questions. Penultimate question. James Haskell has been fishing with magnets this week.
Righto.
Can you name 2 of the things that he's pulled up? He's been fishing in a canal with magnets.
What? Not the
he
game.
He hasn't been, not for fishing, he's been dredging a canal with
yeah,
a magnet.
Yeah, dredging a canal is probably the better way of saying it.
Mm-hmm.
So there might, because it's all on his Instagram stories, I've seen this, there might be a couple of things I've missed, but I've got 2 that I've seen.
Okay.
And final, name little Jimmy Gopeth's 5 rugby clubs. This will be negatively marked. So if you get 1 wrong, you get minus points.
What's number 5?
Yeah, I'm with you here, Tim.
So 3 are definitely easy.
4 are easy, mate.
Okay, Jay, have we got some answers?
Yes, I have.
Tim?
I've got 4.
Do you want to risk 5?
I don't think I do.
No, I don't.
If it's negatively marked.
It's negatively marked.
Okay.
Okay.
Question 1. I think JB's got this. So, Tim, who owns ESPN?
I guess Disney, but I don't know.
Disney.
Is it correct?
Yeah.
Great. Yes.
1 point each.
God damn it, I thought I had that one in the bag.
I know ESPN have bars at all over the place in
do they?
In Disney places in Vegas and all those sorts of places. Anyway.
Who does Stefan Armitage currently play for?
He plays Stefan Armitage.
Yeah.
I know this.
The 7.
Pressure. Yeah. I know it, Jay.
Who has decided to follow one of his mentors.
I know it.
Carl Heyman to Pow.
Ah, Pow.
Pow.
Pow, 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 pow.
1 point each, or 2 points each in total. Who scored a hat-trick for Saracens?
Have you not missed the Tuolangi question?
I have missed the Manu question. What was it? What month and...
I guessed February 2016.
November 14.
It can't be that long, can it?
Tim is closer.
Oh.
So it's 15.
No, it was March 2016 in the Six Nations that year.
Yeah.
So he has played under Eddie Jones.
Well, no points there.
No points, though.
Hat-trick for Saracens in the pre-season fixture?
I just guessed. Oh, no, because Liam Williams won't have played because he was on the Lions. Damn it. I wrote Liam Williams. Damn it.
Oh, I put Tompkins.
Is incorrect.
Oh.
It's Gallagher?
Scalp Brits.
Really?
Yeah.
Noted for later. What position? Doesn't matter, does it?
Fancy draft. Front
row.
Front row.
Saracens
points.
Front row. I would seriously, if I was 8th or 9th in the draft order, I would seriously consider Saracens or Wasps front row as my first pick.
Interesting.
Mm.
Go on.
Why don't you stick around in the rugby dungeon? We can sit and we'll go through the draft together.
Well, you can shout out what Phil has gone for when I'm locked into the matrix. Right. Dragons. How many points have they conceded to the nearest 10?
I guessed 100.
160.
That's 161. JB is correct.
Oh, does that mean JB's ahead?
JB's ahead, 3-2.
Oh, come on.
Don't worry. Dredging from a canal sounds like you're... like sort of thing.
Well, on Haskell dredging out of a canal with magnets, so, I say...
JB, have you got anything? Because I think Tim might have some positive answers.
I haven't watched his Instagram story.
Got 2 things which he might have dredged up. Well, what would you throw in a canal?
Go on.
A gun?
Incorrect.
And a trolley.
I guessed a trolley and a can of beans.
Oh, you're incorrect on all counts. The 2 that I saw were a bike and a safe.
Really?
I have no idea. The safe was empty. I have no idea why James Haskell is doing this, but go to Instagram stories.
What's amazing about this isn't that he's doing it, but that how many businesses he has, how busy he is, how prolific, and he still finds time to dredge canals with magnets.
You'd understand, wouldn't it, if it's David Pocock?
Yeah.
Pocock was dredging rivers with magnets.
Final then. So JB leads 3-2 going into...
I'm
going
to have to go for 5 then, aren't I?
You're going to write your fifth one down, Tim?
Oh, here we go.
It's not in Europe. Unless he was on loan somewhere.
Ooh, that made me...
I'm going to go for that.
Right.
Okay.
I've written 5 down.
Right. JB, do you want to go in chronological order?
Blues.
Oh, you're going from the start?
From the start to the end?
Yeah. Well, that's chronological, isn't it?
Well, Blues is not chronological, but Blues is... So, Tim, have you written Blues?
That was the extra one I just wrote down. My fifth answer was Blues.
Blues is correct. One point.
I'm getting excited now. It could be a draw.
But Blues was not his first club. I was going to say chronological going backwards because that's easier.
Okay, well, let's do that now.
Okay.
Because obviously we both know he's at Wasps.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Oh, I didn't have that.
That's two. And then before that, we know he was at...
Leinster.
So that's... And before that, we know he was at...
Newcastle.
Yeah.
Which we've got. So there's one more.
Yes.
I do not have that
I have. Well, I don't know if it's right. I thought this was the one I knew because I think the Blues was the guess. I'm sure he was a beloved Kane, one of Phil's beloved Canes.
Is correct.
Yes!
A draw.
And that's where he played most of his Super Rugby.
A draw or an Australian victory.
I'm not sure if he played most of his rugby, but so this year, Jody Barrett has scored more than 100 points for the Canes on debut season. The last person to do it wasn't Cruden, who made his debut there. It wasn't Bowden Barrett. It was little Jimmy Gopeth.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I didn't know Cruden played at the Canes.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
If I get first pick of the draft, Jimmy Gopeth all day long.
Yes.
Really? So he's still only going for? Interesting.
If I get first pick, if he's available when I get my first pick, I will be picking little Jimmy Gopeth.
Little Jim. Excellent. So it's a draw.
It was.
After all that, it's a draw.
After all that, it is a draw. Let's go to... We've already heard of some tales of various shenanigans going on with New Zealand rugby players. How about just some tales of some shenanigans that are going on in New Zealand as Joe Marler reflected on his time as a British and Irish Lion? He gave an interview in The Telegraph, which was in this weekend, and he's talking about in an era of professionalism and commercialism, he's... Well, he didn't say these words. This is what the BBC journalist can't imagine Joe Marler going, well, mate, in an era of professionalism and commercialism, he was just saying how it was. It felt really old school, the whole tour, and he really, really values it and talked about lots of the young guys, coming through and that's not really part of their thing, which is fine, that's their game. But he, despite being relatively young himself, he really, really enjoys that and said that he was regularly... on FaceTime, he's getting calls from his missus on FaceTime, and she would regularly ask him, are you pissed again? And he blames Rory Best mainly for that. He said the midweek veg, as they were called, had a very, very good tour and worked their nuts off.
Yeah.
It was good to hear. It's a good read.
Yeah, it was interesting. He's always an interesting character. It was interesting because from his perspective, he felt that he was always... kind of on the periphery.
Yeah.
He never felt that he had a chance of getting to the test team unless one of the test players played themselves out of it, which was probably what George North did.
Yes.
But just interesting to hear that. He said they weren't split in the same way that they were in 2005, where they were told, look, you are team A and you are team B. But they knew from the start.
Yeah. But Corey Hill knew what the situation was.
Chris and Dacey.
Yeah.
I reckon Finn Russell reckon he had a real shot of making the test team.
Have we got another review, boys?
There's another team. Yes, we do. So we've done the Pro 14. We've done the Rugby Championship. We've talked about shenanigans off the field. We've done a quiz. We're going to look at an Avicii Premiership side, and we just want to say thank you very much again for getting in touch with all of the previews of your club for the coming season, your thoughts on last year, your reflections, your thoughts on their recruitment. And we really appreciate this, because what we're getting is the thoughts of real bona fide fans on clubs. So with that in mind, let's move on to Sale Sharks. And this preview is being done, again, bona fide 100% fans only. We have got JB to do Sale Sharks.
I have an email here, okay? So thank you very much to Bonathan Jadmore, who has sent this in. Don't know who that is. So let's go with the incoming players for Sale this year. Probably the most impressive recruitment drive of any Premiership team. They've added Josh Strauss, who had previously captained Glasgow, very effective for Scotland and current Scottish international. John O'Ross, who you might not know, but was an extremely good player at Stade Français, to the extent that quite a lot of the time Sergio Parisse would be staying on the bench. And then they've got bona fide stars as well, Faf de Klerk, and they've also got James O'Connor. Have I missed anyone there?
They brought in the two from Bristol, the two
Will
former
Cliff.
Players.
Oh, yeah.
Cliff and Jones.
Which, to be fair, is exactly the kind of recruitment that you want to be doing, bringing lads back rather than just getting outsiders.
And a couple of massive tight heads.
Yeah, oh my God. Right, I'm going to have to tell you now. There is a guy, right, called Will Griff. Will Griff John.
Yeah.
One of the best names ever. It looks like a Game of Thrones extra. He is the most massive man I've ever seen. I kid you not. He is like Max Lahiff. He's not quite as like ripped up as Max Lahiff, but he's huge, and he's in good nick as well. Unbelievably huge. And they've got the
Taras,
the Romanian prop as well.
Romanian tight head Taras.
He's a very nice man, actually.
Is he?
Yeah.
Is he the bald one that we saw, the big bald tight head?
Yes,
that we saw
right.
In Romania, Georgia.
Yeah, and both of them bring some serious power.
Will Griff John, he's at the Championship, right?
Yeah, Doncaster.
Yeah, Doncaster Knights.
He's huge.
That's good to see. The Championship, you've seen over the years some really good stories of people that have come through, and Saracens probably more than anyone have demonstrated that, and that's good to see. I hope he does well.
So, the biggest problem I have with all this recruitment is it's too much too soon. So Sale have increased though their salary cap by about 50% on what they were spending last year, which is significant.
So part of that will be the new players, and presumably part of it will be retaining some of the young English talent.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like Ross Harrison.
Spent a lot of money on Will
Addison, James,
Mike
Haley,
Beaumont.
Yeah,
yeah. So they've got a policy now that they're going to re-sign their young talent early, and this is more controversial than it sounds actually, because a lot of commentators will tell you, how do they know that these lads are going to get England caps before they sign them up? Does that make sense?
Well, almost.
There's a lot of very...
arguably doesn't want them to get England caps.
Yeah.
He wants them to be the best that they can possibly be without actually getting many caps.
So the Currys did their long-term extension just before they got capped for England.
Yeah.
And believe you me, they're a lot more valuable now than they were before they signed their five-year extensions.
A five-year deal is like locking yourself in on 18-year-old person's money. They might be sort of going, "All right, when's my contract?" In 4 years' time, they might be going, "When's my contract up?
Come I can
on.
Buy a golf."
Yeah.
So yeah, some very, very. I mean, that actually you've got a good point there, Tim, haven't you? You know, 18 years old, you're gonna be 23 by the time that you get your next contract. I mean, presumably, they can renegotiate contracts by a little, but very often. I mean, that's a smart way of doing it.
Mm.
Now, getting so many players in so quickly does mean that you've got a bit of a long time to integrate, and that's my biggest fear, really. They've not really lost anyone, and there's a couple of lads coming through the academy as well who you're going to be excited about. There's a number 9 called Sturgis, meant to be very good. Nick Dolly, who is a hooker. Tim, you spoke about him before, I think. And there's another guy, which is Sam James's brother. And they're very excited.
Luke James. Who's another centre.
We're going a bit deep, talking about... they might break through.
Hang on,
we've
not got to the under-12s yet.
So the players that they've lost... So the players are in, all positive. The players that they've lost... they've not really lost anyone that they'd be concerned about.
Not really.
So possibly Kieran Longbottom, who's going back to Saracens, but he didn't play that much anyway.
No, but when he did, he made a good impact. But yeah, you're right. You're right, fundamentally.
They've got two other tight ends. Yeah. So you lose him. Brian Majority's gone to Ospreys. That happened partway through last season.
Got bothered.
Phillips has retired. Tuatupu's gone to Coventry. Neil Briggs has retired. Jonathan Mills retired to coach.
London
Scottish. And I'm not sure we can tell you the other news about him yet.
Okay.
But something very exciting is on the horizon for him.
And Peter Stringer.
Yeah, which, yeah.
But Stringer out, Faf in.
Yeah.
Is, I'd take that. I'd take that all day.
I don't know, is the answer. Faf de Klerk is a fine player. He's a Springbok. But is there a reason that he wasn't starting for the Lions?
Possibly because he was leaving.
Yeah. I don't know.
I'd tell you, in the final, when he came on in the last 20 or 30 minutes against the Crusaders, that's when the Lions did all of their damage, because he causes so much chaos.
Yeah, and that's the problem, isn't it? Chaos.
As long as the team around him are tuned into him, it's fine.
Yeah.
It will take, like you said, it will take some time for them all to integrate with that chaos.
Right, and last year, 8, 9, 10 was the weakness for Sale Sharks.
Yeah.
Josh Boymont had a really poor season.
Yeah, he did.
Really bad season.
He was caught in a real hard place, because they've moved him to lock. I don't think he's particularly good at lock, is my honest opinion.
Well, I think they're going to play him at lock.
Yeah.
I think that's where he's going to be.
Definitely, because they wouldn't have brought in two world-class eights if they rated him as an eight. So that's where he's going to be moved to. I'm not sure that's going to suit him particularly. It's almost like he's been pushed up there for schoolboy reasons, which is he's a bit tall.
But 8-9-10 now, they could have really potentially it's really good. Potentially, yeah. It could still be a bit.
Yeah.
That's the key. That's the key area for Sale.
And it's these funny little dynamics which are really they're going to struggle with, because they've got AJ McGinty, who didn't start the season well, but finished it really strongly.
He did.
And as he's improving, getting to know all these very complex systems from a pretty unorthodox coaching system, who rocks up? James O'Connor. And he is listed as a fly half. He wants to play fly half.
Does he?
Yeah. It's quite amusing, because every time you ask him, where do you want to play, he does the very media-trained thing and says, oh, well, it's up to the coaches. And the coaches drag him out in front of all the fans and sponsors and goes, come on then, James, tell us where you want to play. It's like, it's up to you guys. You can't ask me to say that. So I think that's a strange dynamic, because, of course, AJ McGinty's improved into that role, but James O'Connor's James O'Connor, and he's here for a reason.
If you can get him playing his best, he'll be a very handy player to have.
Yeah, so loads of positives on the recruitment. The downsides are, will they integrate more fully? I'm not entirely sure that's possible in such a short off season. And not really lost anyone. And also keeping the young guys involved is a huge, huge boost.
Yeah.
How do we assess their chances, Phil? What do you reckon?
So last season they finished, was it 9th or 10th?
Yeah, I think it was 10th.
Yeah. I think they have improved. I think the squad has undoubtedly improved. I think the whole Premiership has improved.
Well, yeah. Those bottom teams have definitely improved. I think the whole league has.
And by the way, we've not even mentioned Denny Solomona.
Yeah.
In all this. Sorry,
Phil.
I think they will be finishing 9th or 10th again. Because I think the teams around them, Newcastle, Gloucester, Worcester, I think have all improved. London Irish as well, coming in, are better than Bristol were last year.
Yeah. I've got to say, I'm finding it very hard to call where they're going to be. I'll tell you this, though, which is interesting. They openly talk about top four. That's where their ambition is. And without European rugby, they're not going to have those horrible runs of having Saracens 4 weeks in a row with Toulon in between. Yeah. So the answer is I don't know. I really don't.
I think they've got a lot of potential, but I don't think they have it where it really counts. I think their pack could do some real damage this year. Could intimidate quite a few teams. It's a lot. It's a toss of a coin. Will their 9-10?
Yeah.
Will their 9-10 pay off? Will it not? I think. I don't know. I know my brother spent a year playing with James O'Connor and said he's an absolutely top lad. So what's presented in the media sometimes, or what he sometimes think you're getting with him from an anecdotal experience, that's not the case. But I just think James O'Connor, the AJ Bell Stadium. But then I thought that about Danny Cipriani, and that worked out brilliantly.
It did, didn't it?
It did, yeah.
So I don't know. I think that's a toss of a coin, and I'm just going to, if I were betting, it's red or black, and I'm betting that that's not going to pay off, and it's going to be a 9th or 10th sale.
Yeah, so I, like I said, I don't know, but the factors I would point to are, just because you're good with a small squad gutting it out, doesn't mean you're good with the big squad. I don't know the answer to that, although Steve Diamond's only finished outside the top six four times in his career. So that's fairly impressive, but I just don't think that necessarily translates to, can you be an absolute top-flight director of rugby? The other thing is, they're so bloody unusual, because their other two senior coaches there have never played a game of rugby union in their life.
Because they're league boys.
So that's why they play such a strange brand of rugby.
I think they're in a good place to looking ahead, because the next 2 years are going to be affected by a World Cup.
Yep.
And that every time there's a World Cup year, Sale get into Europe.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think the Currys are going to be involved, and the Currys are going to be really important.
I'm not having that.
All right. Hear me now, believe me later.
In the World Cup.
Yeah. One of them will be.
Don't forget, you've got to take both of them if you're taking one of them. And you've only got a 31-man squad.
Yeah, I don't even know which one's better. I have no idea. Eddie Jones has called Ben.
Eddie Jones has decided Ben's better. No, because Tom got injured.
No, Ben got injured.
So Tom played
in Argentina because Ben got injured.
That's right.
And also, so Ben is higher ranked on the official rankings of Fantasy Rugby Draft.
Is that right?
So that means that Ben is better.
Wow.
There's about 20 places between them as well in the official rankings.
I think what Sale have got going for them, again, linking into this point, which always benefits them, is that they have lots and lots of good players, very, very few, if any of which, are international class.
Yeah, but they also have very few players. They still have less players than everyone else. They spend the same amount of money, just on less players. So an injury crisis for them is a real crisis. If they hit something like that mid-season, expect 9th or 10th finish.
They need a lock.
They've got George.
If George not coming through from former under-20s.
Good player.
But he's not very big, though.
No, he's not. He feels like a normal guy when you meet him.
Yeah.
So there's George Knott. There's Bryn Evans, who, by the way, is a very good player. Very underrated. And Beaumont, who I've not spoke too highly of. So, yeah, you're probably right there. And Ostrakov.
Phil, who wears very, very short shorts.
Very short shorts.
Phil saying 9th, 10th. Pick a number.
I want to say 10th.
6th.
9th.
Hmm.
Right, that's Sale Sharks. If you disagree, or we've got anything to say on that, at Rugby Podcast, you can tweet us.
Can't all podcasts be like that?
What's that?
In depth and well, about sharks.
all about Sale Sharks.
There was a little meetup of old adversaries Steve Diamond and Richard Cockerell over the weekend.
Was there?
In the final pre-season match of for Sale
was, yeah.
Sharks.
Yeah,
I tried to watch this on the stream, but the stream was bloody awful.
and Sale edged that one 24 points to 20 in pre-season. There we go. Anything else on the agenda?
Just the previews for next week.
Oh, yeah. Our Leo Vegas Bet of the Week.
Before the Leo Vegas Bet of the Week, there is some rugby on... It's Tuesday. Tuesday leading up to the final.
I will just say this before you get into this. JB, if we can string this out for long enough, Phil will have to stay here for the draft.
Exactly. Yeah, he's going to have no choice, is he?
I'm on the clock. Four minutes.
He's got a hard out, as you say in the industry.
Yeah, hard out. I'm just going to run out the door. Semi-finals on Tuesday, 5 o'clock is New Zealand versus USA. USA, who were comfortably beaten by England in the final group game, so you'd expect New Zealand to win that. And England versus France. Now, France have been
interesting. They're going well, aren't they?
France looked very good against Ireland. Yeah, they've performed very well in all of their
games.
They've
got a very powerful number eight.
They absolutely hammered Australia. And they looked very good against Ireland, which I caught the end of that game on last Thursday, I think it was. They've got some really good, really powerful, dangerous runners. You'd expect England and New Zealand to get through to the final, which is next Saturday. And next Saturday, there is the final, the third place playoff, the fifth place playoff, the seventh place playoff, the ninth place playoff, and the 11th place playoff for the Women's World Cup.
Oh, wow. Serious games, then.
Serious games. Because there's also some qualifying games, there's some ranking games.
Oh, is there? Okay.
For the other teams.
That's how, I think that's how they should do a World Cup.
I don't necessarily think that,
I kind of, only from the point of view of the Tier 2 nations, it just seems a shame that theirs ends.
After three games, halfway through, don't they?
And it's the biggest stage, and what a moment. They've been waiting 4 years for this.
Yeah, that's a good idea, actually.
Yeah, I would go with that.
Like a Tier 2 tournament?
Yes, but...
So the top 8 teams are in the knockout, and then everyone else plays off for a position.
I mean, yeah. that would be depressing as hell for England, going out in the pool stage and then having to play...
It'd be amazing for Romania.
It would be. But it's the best thing for the game. I would have...
That's a top idea. Why has no one done that?
Well, they do it in the World Under 20 Championships. They do it in the Women's Rugby World Cup. I just think it's a no-brainer.
Yeah, I agree with you.
You get more ticket sales.
Yeah. Like, you know, if you're playing, say, I don't know, Georgia, Romania in Darlington or somewhere... You know, with a good stadium.
Those two teams, it's still their World Cup. They would give it absolutely everything.
Yeah. It's still a good rugby heartland.
Yeah.
It's a great idea.
But the even better for those teams is they would get to play against one of the best teams.
A Friday night curtain raiser too. Make a whole weekend of...
Exactly. There's just more games when there's less games in that final few weeks.
Get me James Abraham on the phone.
World Rugby, get with it. Come on. I don't see a downside, but so good on the Women's Rugby World Cup for doing it.
Yeah.
So the other fixtures this coming week, of course, top 14's back.
After their mandatory 3 weeks.
3 week break, yeah. it's 1 week, then into intense pre season, which mostly involves eating cheese, drinking red wine, and endless scrimmaging sessions.
Yeah, would it not be easier for them just to not do pre season, but lay off the cheese and wine? Probably come out of pre season worse than when they went into it.
It's a training camp in a vineyard. And then, of course, we have our Leo Vegas bet of the week.
Wait there.
The Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast with... No, not with money. With... That sounded wrong. With LeoVegas.com, who love their rugby as much as we do. That's why they've joined up with us to make sure... so we can let you know about the fantastic betting offerings that they have. They have a partnership with Leicester Tigers and with the Egg Chasers Podcast. They know and love their rugby. You can trust in that. They'll have some great offers that you can get involved in. So look at it as you're looking at this weekend and ahead with the new season. For example, I've just looked at my spreadsheet that I've made for my fantasy draft and I've accidentally deleted a player and I don't know who it was.
Oh,
no.
Uh-oh.
Right. Anyway, sorry. That's distracting. I'm getting distracted by other stuff because I'm just looking on the Sale Sharks report of their game against Edinburgh. Will Cliff took a couple of conversions and slotted him.
Interesting.
Do you know who else kicks Sale?
Who? Will Addison.
Do you know who else kicks at Sale?
James O'Connor.
Sam James.
Do you know who else kicks at Sale? Look on the social media channels. Slotted a couple of 60 yarders.
It used to be Vadim Kovalash.
Yeah.
Anyway. Faf de Klerk.
Ooh.
Uh-oh. There's a cat amongst the pigeons.
Ooh. Right. Anyway, sorry. I apologise for that. So, for this weekend, the return of Bledisloe.
Yes. Now, last week, we got it so right... We were so on the money. We got the exact points difference that New Zealand were going to win, or certainly me and Tim did. And JB was certainly in the right ballpark.
The sentiment was correct, wasn't it?
Yes. So we predicted a 20-point win. It was exactly a 20-point win. So if you were bold enough to put your money where our mouths was...
Just like we were.
You could have won something. Did you actually put... Because we have that charity bet thing...
Charities have been suffering of late, but I will do it this week.
So, this week's fixture, I can't see past. So, New Zealand are going to win comfortably.
Yeah. So,
but I think the real value in this is going to be how many points there are in total in the game.
How brutal are New Zealand would be my thought, and My thinking is they're going to be bloody brutal. I don't think they... I don't buy any of the culture nonsense for a second. I think it's dross made up by idiots. However, I do buy this, which is they're a close bunch of boys, and as a group, you know, there is a lot of care for each other. And as such, I don't think they take this Jerome Kano thing lying down. I don't think they take the Aaron Smith thing lying down at all. They go out there and they absolutely batter them. Why is Tim celebrating?
I've got the first pick in the draft.
Damn it!
Yes.
Who's second? Where?
Sorry, it doesn't matter. What's your team, Jay? What's your team name?
The Commish.
The Commish, you are 10th.
That's not too
bad.
That's
not that bad. And what is your name, Phil?
I can't remember.
Pilu Pilu?
No.
LGBT?
I think it is LGBT.
I'd be happy with yours. You got the third pick in the
draft. Oh, this is a disaster.
Third's okay. I can work with third.
Little Jimmy, come home.
We're not doing a live
podcast. Yes, yes.
You can go home, Tim.
Right.
Sorry.
I'm going to run out this door in 2 minutes' time to go and prepare. So my prediction is New Zealand by 25, but there will be more than 70 points scored in total.
New Zealand by 30.
New Zealand by 25. New Zealand by 30. Tim?
New Zealand by 35.
35.
And Jimmy Gopeth, welcome to Quadzilla.
Damn it.
God damn.
With the first pick of the draft.
It's so unjust.
Quadzilla selects little Jimmy Gopeth.
Right, sir. Well, that makes things interesting.
And on that note...
Right, goodbye.
I am out. I'm going.
See you later, Phil.
Bye.
It's a hard exit.
See you later, Phil. Right, so listen on Acast, on iTunes, give us your reviews, subscribe. We've only got 2 weeks left till domestic rugby is back. That means 2 weeks till Fantasy Rugby Draft, which we highly recommend getting 9 of your mates and getting involved in. And it's Fantasy Rugby Draft, which means Phil is literally running out of the door. See ya.
Get out of my house, Tim. We're done.
All right. Let the boys play.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.